To be with you again. I trust you're well. The Lord is blessing you and that you'll be strengthened today by His Word and by His Spirit, which is the subject of pretty much what I want to talk about. I've entitled my message today, Principles of Truth for the Daily Christian Walk. Principles of Truth for the Daily Christian Walk. And it's about the whole concept of truth. Now, you might think that's a strange thing to preach on, and yet so much of our worship this morning is we've sung about truth, we've prayed truth, we've had confidence in God's truth. And I just want to remind us today, I just felt in my spirit to speak on this, because sometimes we often think of truth just in the manner of telling lies, as in, oh, we should tell the truth and rather than tell lies. Now, You might be thinking, I don't need to hear anything about the truth. I'm a Christian. I'm an honest person. What are you suggesting about me? Am I not telling the truth? Well, I don't know you, and you don't know me. But I'm not talking about lying particularly. I'm not talking about just the issue of telling the truth as we're having conversations with people. So please don't be offended. I rather want to talk about the whole issue of walking in the truth, which I believe is something quite different. I'm just going to read a few scriptures from the book of Ephesians. It's not the passage that my sermon's based on, but you'll see later on why I want to read this. Many of you will know this quite well. Ephesians 6:10, the armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Father, I just pray, Lord, that you'll take these words of mine, Lord, and Lord, by your Holy Spirit, just take them, anoint them. And Lord, I just pray for my brothers and sisters here, Lord, that they'd have ears to hear, Lord, what you're saying to your church in these days. Lord, we believe your word is mighty, Lord, and Lord, we just want to hear from you today. So Lord, draw near to us, we pray. Lord, help us to cut out every distraction, Lord, all the worries of life, all the things that we brought in with us. Father, just help us to leave those just for now, just to one side, Lord, and to be encouraged by your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, the principle of truth from a biblical perspective is one that relates to the whole of life. I said about telling lies. Telling lies is just something that often it's easy to pick on. You know, if someone tells lies to us, we don't like it, or maybe we suddenly find ourselves, maybe when confronted, not always speaking the truth as we should. And, it's something that exists, I think, in all of us. It's something that's so easy to slip into. But I think the whole concept of truth is so much bigger than that from God's point of view. I believe the Bible teaches us that truth is an attitude, that it has power, that it's a choice, it's a spiritual weapon, and that truth is certain. Truth can be our defense. It can guide us in life and be a path for us. And also it can be an expression of our love for God. And that's a lot to take in, which is why, you know, truth isn't just something very, very simple. There's so much more to, I believe, what the Bible talks about truth. So our starting point, though, must be this. We must believe that and accept that every word in this book is true. And I start with that because you'll be surprised maybe that not all Christians do. Some Christians would maybe say, I love God, I love the Lord, I pray, I go to church, I meet and have fellowship with other Christians. But they would struggle immensely with accepting the whole of the Bible. They'll say, there's things in there I just don't understand. There'll be things in there that I think that's wrong. Oh, God couldn't possibly do that. And by nature, then, you undermine the power and the truth of his word if you only take it in part. You know, do we believe that God is big enough to actually, using mankind in hundreds of years ago to, over thousands of years actually, to write this, that when he gives us it today, when we, you know, have our copies, whatever version you have, do you think God is big enough to be able to use men and to maybe make sure that the word that he speaks to us is true and is correct and is what he wants us to know? I believe it is. I believe it is. And that's why, you know, I don't apologize in saying, in asking really, you know, what is your foundation? Do you believe the word of God is truth? Do you believe that it's God's spoken word to us and is the foundation on what we believe as Christians? Let's look at what John 17 says when Jesus was praying to God the Father for his disciples just before his arrest and crucifixion. He says this in verse 8, For I have given them, the disciples, the words that you gave me, talking to his Father. And they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. He goes on, verse 14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world anymore, any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Everything Jesus spoke to his disciples during those 3 years of ministry was based on Old Testament scriptures, which Jesus would have known full well, but also words that he heard from his Father. And he says, your word is truth. So these verses tell us that truth both comes from God and that truth is found in his word. Even David, the psalmist in Psalm 119 says this, the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. This concept of truth was even right back in the Old Testament. I've got other examples that we'll hear as my message goes on. But I just want to start really by saying God's written word is truth. Everything Jesus speaks, everything he's ever spoken, everything he will speak to us in the future through the Spirit of God is the express and revealed truth of God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. The entire Old and New Testament is the written word of truth. I got that over. I wasn't sure how I sort of present that because some people struggle with that. I've had many conversations with people, even in my own church, that would challenge the word of God. And I find that strange, but it's just a reality. So forgive me if you found that a little bit kind of, you don't need to say that. Okay, so knowing what the Bible says about truth and hiding his word in our hearts will help us to discern when we hear the one who speaks as the voice of truth. There are many other voices of so-called truth in society today that we need to be aware of and on our guard against. Now, you don't need me to tell you that the world we live in has changed. We live in what philosophers have described as a postmodern world, one which tells us that absolute truth doesn't exist, that everything is relative to anything else. It tells us that there are many kinds of truth and that all viewpoints are equally valid. And it therefore concludes that there's no real truth at all. That's what the philosophers called postmodernism. If it's true for you, then it's true. If something different is true for them, then that's okay. So that's everything's relative to what you believe. And many people in Britain still profess to believe in God, and yet many would still refer to us as a Christian nation. But would it be true to say that all of those people have accepted Christ and know him as the truth? I'm not so sure. How does that viewpoint, that truth is relative, marry up with the words of Jesus in John 14:6, where he tells us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It doesn't marry up at all. Postmodernism's rejection of absolute truth over these past, well, recent decades has unfortunately caused much of society, including some Christians, to discard the Bible either totally or in part. And that's why factions exist in the church today. It's been in the news a lot lately, or over recent months, about the sanctity of marriage between one man and one woman. It's been in the law courts. You only have to watch the news to know that even the established church is split on this matter. And for believers, it's getting harder to hold on to such fundamental truths as marriage. Because there's a principle that's starting to exist in society that if you or me, hold a strong conviction on any particular viewpoint, such as marriage, then it's treated with suspicion and even contempt because of postmodernism. Postmodernism says that everyone's beliefs, values, or lifestyle are equally acceptable. And so if we say there's only one form of marriage that is acceptable, then we are wrong and we might have a fanatical viewpoint. And that's what we're starting to see in society. It was great that, you know, there was success in Manchester last week with this man that was knocked for just basically speaking on Facebook, you know, that he thought marriage, the whole equality thing, marriage had gone too far. And he was demoted because he expressed a view on Christian marriage. And thankfully the courts accepted this time that actually he was right. What he was saying didn't break any laws and wasn't wrong, and his employers were wrong to demote him. Linked to this, postmodernism theories deny that Christ, as much as they deny Christ's claim to be the truth, they also dismiss the statement that there's only one way to heaven. Today, Christianity is ridiculed as arrogant or intolerant by those people who say there are many paths to heaven. The view that all religions are equally valid is called pluralism. And I've even heard people in church, young or immature Christians, agree that, well, it's okay, you worship your God, I worship mine, we're all going the same way. That's not what the Bible says. It's not what the Bible says at all. And we need to be on our guard. So despite what the world says, I want to reiterate that as Christians, we must believe that God is the source of absolute truth. We don't make it up ourselves. He's revealed it to us through his word, through the scriptures, but also through the word, Jesus, who we know lives in us through his Holy Spirit. The Spirit is described as the Spirit of truth. But how many of us would confidently say that we walk by the Spirit in much of our everyday lives? Many of us have been in church for a number of years. We might have a fair knowledge of the Bible. But is that enough? Is that enough as the days are getting harder to live as Christians? Is that enough just to know the Bible? Just to know chapter and verse? I'd say from personal experience and also from many counseling sessions that I've been involved in, I know that many Christians don't walk in victory and freedom. Many secretly struggle with repetitive sin and go through a continuous sin, confess cycle with God. Why is that? I believe the reason's quite simple. It's a difficult issue, but the understanding is quite simple. It's that we're trying to live the Christian lives in our own strength, with our own understanding and without God. And it's like, ooh, but I love God. I love the word. We do. I think the church for centuries has struggled with this, so you're not on your own. Jesus taught us to take hold of the word. That's why I read those passages in Ephesians. The battle is spiritual, and we need to live spiritually to fight in this battle. Not in our own strength, but in the power of the Spirit. We cannot use human reason to fight in a spiritual battle. We just can't do it. Jesus calls Satan the father of lies, and deception is one of the enemy's oldest tactics. We can see through Satan's lies by holding them against the truth of the scriptures. Think right back to the Garden of Eden when the serpent deceived Adam and Eve. What did he say? Did God really say, you shall not eat of the tree? So our mind is the battlefield where most of this spiritual war is fought. Look at these verses in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5. God gives us an insight into this spiritual battle. He says this, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. We do not wage war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, which is given to us by his word, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, i.e. obedience to the word. Because our mind is the primary area Satan intensifies his attack with, is it any wonder why God wants us to learn how to take captive every thought? It's for our protection. It's to help us to live. You know, the scriptures I read earlier, Ephesians 6, 17, 18, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. So the Spirit and the Word are inseparable. They're inseparable. So why do we try and live as Christians without one or the other? The words of Hebrews 4:12 say this, for the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So we're meant to challenge the lies. We're meant to challenge those deceptions that are thrown at us by the world. We only can do this by examining them against the Word of God. But we don't have to do it on our own, remember. Jesus promised us the Holy Spirit and that he would always be with us as a helper. So the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, John 4. John speaks an awful lot about this. You know, if you're not sure where to read up on this whole concept of knowing God in spirit and truth, read the Gospel of John. John 4, 23, 24. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the spirit and in truth. But worship here is in the context of our whole lives. It's in context of obedience to Christ, to Jesus. It's not just the 20 minutes that we sing on a Sunday. He is the object of our worship for our lives. We call ourselves Christians. We take on his name. He went to the cross for us, and he bore our sins on himself. But look at this as well, John 15, 26. When the Advocate comes, another name for the Holy Spirit, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out, he will testify about me. So the Holy Spirit reveals God to us. He reveals truth to us. The Spirit of truth will bring us into relationship with our Heavenly Father. And it's better than that. The Holy Spirit's described as an advocate. An advocate is someone who speaks on your behalf. John 16, 13, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. That's how we can know. You know, even when the world is going crazy around us, we can have peace. We can know peace that comes from God, because he speaks his word into our hearts. He speaks his word into our very being. And it gives us strength. It gives us hope. John 14, 15 says this, if you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. So John tells us plainly that the Holy Spirit is given to us. That if we listen and spend time with him, he will guide us into all truth. And he'll help us to worship our Father and get to know him better and be effective in living strong. So there's liberty in walking in the truth. There's liberty. You maybe know these words well in John 8. If you hold on to my teaching, you really are my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I don't know about you, but I want to walk in freedom. I don't want to be deceived by the world's viewpoint. I don't want to be trapped by its advertising or its deceptions. I want to be free. Do you want to be free? I certainly do. 2 Corinthians 3:17 also says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We sing it in a song, don't we? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. In the Old Testament, even David knew the benefits of trusting the truth of God's word. Psalm 25:5, guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. David knew that the word of God was truth, that it would be good for him. He says this also in Psalm 145, verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Friends, the secret of walking closely to God is by taking hold of his word in the quietness of our own devotional times and letting it infiltrate every part of our lives till it becomes the norm. And that's where we'll find his presence and power. It comes by obedience and by faith. Think back to when you first trusted God, when you first accepted him as Lord and Savior. You were changed. You were transformed. You became new. You know, we often sing these songs, or, you know, it's great even hearing the kids and others speaking out the words of truth, bringing scriptures. You know, who we are now, we're accepted. We're adopted into his family. There's no condemnation. Our sins were nailed to his cross. We're saints, we're holy ones. Jesus is now interceding on our behalf before God the Father. That's what the scriptures teach us. This is his truth. It tells us that we're free. So the only time that we don't walk in that freedom is actually when we forget who we are, when we forget the words of God that he's spoken to us, and we don't put it on as spiritual armor, when we try and do things in our own strength. We're all guilty of it. We all have time where we just kind of almost park God to one side, park the Holy Spirit in us, and just get on and try and do it ourselves. I'm guilty of it, and I know you're guilty of it, which I think is why, you know, we need reminding about truth as a whole, truth as far as the scriptures teach us, because it's so much more, as I said, than just telling lies or being honest. Ephesians 6 warns us, we read it earlier, to put on the belt of truth. You know, it's the first part of the armor of God. It's a key part of the armor of God. Paul tells us to wear truth as part of our spiritual armor. But what does it mean to wear truth? Well, that's where it does to mean to speak and act truthfully before God, but also before man. The illustration is of a soldier's belt, which not only kept all of his armor in place, but was also wide enough to protect his kidneys and round his vital organs. In the same way, God's truth protects us. Practically applied to us today, you might say that the belt of truth holds up our spiritual trousers so that we're not exposed and vulnerable. So being truthful is for our benefit. Being truthful stops us stumbling and falling through the deception that comes from the world, the flesh, and the devil. But there's also another reason for walking truthfully. It's for our witness. A lot of scriptures today. Ephesians 5, 8 and 9. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. John 3:21, but whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. So it also helps us get on with other believers, because we don't always naturally get on with everybody in church, do we? We have our differences. We don't always find it easy. Ephesians 4:25, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. 1 John 2:20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you don't know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Even there, John is reminding believers, the church, to be truthful, because he knows how hard it is to live truthfully. But what about when it all goes wrong? What about when we do mess up? What happens when we don't walk in the truth? What happens when we lie? What about when we're deceived and we convince ourselves that something bad is actually okay, when we play maybe down the severity of something? What about we spend maybe too much on the wrong things and then don't tithe to God for his good provision to us? What about when we enter relationships with unbelievers? What about when we spend too much time on things that really don't edify ourselves or others? Are we tolerant of things that we know are wrong and we turn a blind eye to? That's not walking in the truth. We all maybe at times do that. But the first thing I want to say is that we should show grace. Grace and truth are inseparable, absolutely inseparable. And we should keep showing grace when others come to us with their weakness. I've said already that we're in a spiritual battle and none of us are immune. One day we might need grace ourselves. And the way we should respond to anyone, even to ourselves, when we do mess up, is that we show others the way back in love. Truth without grace just breeds a self-righteous legalism, and it poisons the church, and it pushes the world away from Christ. The opposite of that, grace without truth, creates an environment for moral indifference, that we just accept things that we shouldn't accept, and people might look at us and say, you're a Christian, well, okay. And when they see your life, that you're not walking in the truth. James 5:19-20 says this: "My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins." There's power in truth. 1 John 3:18: "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." Love is an action. Someone once said, we shouldn't love to tell the truth, but to tell the truth in love when we consider others. How true is that? How many of you would want to be spoken to that way? Maybe when you've maybe acted as you shouldn't, maybe you've blown your top or struggling with something. We shouldn't love just to tell the truth, just to point out some other wrong, some other fault, but actually to tell the truth in love. We don't want to be seen as people who just shout at sin and where rules are being broken, but then only whisper in love and relationship with others who haven't quite got it all together. Remember the woman caught in adultery in John 8. What did Jesus say to her, to her accusers? "You without sin, throw the first stone." So I'm coming into land. It's been quite heavy, this message. Not heavy, but it's full of truth. So I'm not worried, because it's God's word, not mine. But let's draw this down to a close. Jesus said that he is the truth. Jesus said that he personifies truth. He says that his word is truth. So if we get to know his word, then we get to know him. Also, he says the Spirit is truth, and the Spirit brings truth into reality. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." Do you hear the voice of God speaking to you? We can know the truth speaking to us. The Holy Spirit whispers the truth into our spiritual ears and consciences, but only if we're walking with him, only if we are spending time with him in devotion, in prayer, and just listening as well, just meditating on God. Because the world is busy. You don't need me to tell you that. I know it myself full well. The world is busy, and there's so much crowding in on us. I said earlier that, you know, the battlefield is in our minds. It's not just in, you know, we can choose to turn the TV off if we suddenly find something. The battlefield is here. And so often our own thoughts and the things that we sort of churn over are the things that eat away at us, and they eat away at the truths that we should be living by. God doesn't want us just to live our lives by principles, by right and wrong. The world is not black and white. People are not black and white in terms of the way that we act. He wants us to live in right relationship with him. Because just living by principles leads just to religion, trying to justify ourselves through right and wrong behavior, or as in through just doing things that are learned, maybe rules and regulations. God wants us to enjoy a right relationship with him. He wants us to do it in love and acceptance. Remember, even John, right at the beginning, John chapter 1, verse 17 says this, the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The law was a set of regulations that were only ever temporary. They were meant to try and give some order to the Old Testament Jews, but they could never do what Christ himself did. That's why John says the law might have been given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So the Bible helps us to defeat the lies of materialism, of money, power, and pleasure. And the truth of the word shines its light, a light of integrity into us, into our hearts, into our lives. And it holds us together, like that belt of truth. It holds our spiritual defenses together. So hold on to truth. Don't be deceived. Know who you are in Christ. Speak things out every day. It's not all about feelings. Some days we just don't feel that God is near to us. Some days we don't feel like doing good. Some days we just want to just do the things that are easy, and some days we might have a critical spirit, or we might be just wanting to waste time or money on things that just don't last. That's true for all of us. We're real. So walk freely. I think we've said it already. The scripture says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Do you want to be free? I've asked that question already. I know you do. So listen to the voice of truth. I want to end with part of a verse from Psalm 86, which is a prayer again of David. Psalm 86:11 says this, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. David knew what it was. David was a man after God's own heart, and yet David seriously messed up in life. And yet he never turned away from God. He did for short times, but very quickly. You just read some of the Psalms, and he has kind of almost like a bad day, a bad moment, and then suddenly he turns his eyes to God again, and everything becomes great. There's so many Psalms that are like that. So when he says, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth, unite my heart to fear your name. He's saying, God, I need you. He's saying, God, I can't do it myself. And I think there's a lesson there for all of us. So please see my heart in bringing the message about truth. I know many of you will know the truth. I know many of you will maybe think, yeah, I get that. And, great, fantastic. But maybe there's some of you that aren't. Maybe there's some of you that might be struggling to just really take hold of the truth. Maybe some of you have not yet learned to listen to the Spirit, to the voice of God, speaking his word into you. So I want to pray for you. I want to pray that the Holy Spirit will be real to you, that you'll know the word, not just as head knowledge, but that the word, Jesus, the word that John speaks about, that you will know the truth in you, in your spirit, that your spirit man, a woman, is connected to God's Holy Spirit. So let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you for your word. Lord, I want to thank you for the truth of your word. I want to thank you that it speaks to us today just as much as it spoke to the prophets of old, or it spoke to just right down the centuries, first the Jews. Lord, your word came to them, but now to us as believers in Christ. Lord, and I want to thank you for the power in your word. Lord, your word's described as a sword. Lord, it goes, penetrates deep into us. Father, and I just pray, Lord, that these words of mine, Lord, I pray that they'd be filtered through the lens of your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would just speak into our hearts. Lord, the words that you need us to hear. Lord, I pray for grace. I pray for forgiveness. Lord, for each of us, for where we've just tried to do it in our own way, Lord, instead of looking to you. Lord, and I pray especially that you would come. Lord, in power, you promise your Holy Spirit to us. We know and confidently say that your Spirit lives in us. Lord, I just pray that you'll help us to hear the voice of the Spirit in us. Lord, that our minds and our souls, our very being, would connect with you. Lord, it's a dark, difficult place, Lord, to walk in the flesh, to walk, Lord, in our own way, but we can do it even as believers. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to let go, to trust you, to trust your word, even when it's hard, even when it doesn't feel right. Lord, just to accept your word as truth. Lord, and let the Holy Spirit come, Lord, and change and transform us. Lord, we're told to renew our minds. Lord, to be transformed in the renewing of our minds. Lord, it comes by knowing you. It comes by knowing your word. It comes by fellowship with you. Lord, help us. Lord, we are weak, but you are strong. So thank you for your grace. Thank you today for this fellowship. Thank you, Lord, that you've revealed yourself to us. Lord, I just want to pray blessing. I want to speak favor. I want to speak life over my friends here, Lord God, in this church. Bless them, Lord. Let them be a light in this community. Lord, as they continue to serve you, Lord, let them serve you boldly. Let them serve you faithfully in spirit and in truth. Lord, according to your word, Lord, and let them see transformation in this community. Lord, come. Come to this community, Lord. Pour out your spirit. Pour out your blessing, Lord, upon this community. Lord, shine your light into the hearts of men. Men that are walking in darkness. Lord, bring them into your light. Bring them into salvation. Lord, let them come and know you as God, you as Father, you as Savior, you as Healer, you as Baptizer, and you as Coming King. Lord, we love you. We just thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word. Bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.